It's the News at One on Radio One. This is Rachel English. Good afternoon. You're listening to an earlier than usual programme on this Easter Monday. We're with you to mark the death of Pope Francis, which was announced shortly before 9 o'clock this morning. That announcement came just hours after he appeared at the Vatican in St. Peter's Square for Easter Sunday. He also met the US Vice President, J.D. Vance. The Pope was 88 and had recently been discharged from hospital where he'd been treated for double pneumonia. His death was announced by senior Vatican official Cardinal Kevin Farrell.
Dear brothers and sisters, with deep sorrow I must announce the death of our Holy Father Francis. At 7:35 this morning, the Bishop of Rome, Francis, returned to the house of the Father. He taught us to live the values of the Gospel with fidelity, courage, and universal love, especially towards the poorest and most marginalised.
In the hours since that announcement, world leaders have paid tribute to the Pope's compassion and to his support for the poor and the marginalised. Jorge Maria Bergoglio, as he was then, was elected Pope 12 years ago, surprising many Vatican watchers who had viewed him as an outsider. He inherited a Catholic Church under attack over child sex abuse scandals and riven by Vatican infighting. Our religion and social affairs correspondent Alva Keneally looks back at his life.
Buonasera.
From the outset, he was Francis the Informal, asking those who cheered his election to bless him before he blessed them. Cardinal Jorge Bergoglio called himself after the radical Saint Francis, serving notice that reforms were in store. He rejected the traditional lavish papal apartment and appointed a council of 8 cardinals from around the globe to restructure the Vatican administration and tackle corruption. They began by closing questionable accounts in the Vatican Bank. He broke new ground by establishing a commission on child protection, which included survivor advocates like the Irish woman Mary Collins. He horrified traditionalists by washing the feet of women and Muslims during his first Holy Week ceremony as Pope. And on his first trip outside of Rome, he visited Lampedusa as the migrant crisis swept the Mediterranean. On another journey, he asked rhetorically, if a person is gay and seeks God and has good will, who am I to judge him? He underlined that the Church cannot insist only on issues relating to abortion, gay marriage and artificial contraception, which he said conservative critics wanted him to mention much more often. But a draft Bishop's Synod document proposing greater acceptance of the LGBT community provoked a row, circulating unprecedented questionnaires on the family to Catholics. Before listening to Vatican debates on the issue, he then lowered bureaucratic hurdles facing couples seeking church annulments. Many highlighted his closeness to the poor, whether in developed countries, in the Third World, or where the two meet, for example, in refugee camps in Greece. His appointments of bishops and cardinals have favoured both developing nations and newer perspectives, promoting many people from the margins, despite the tightly regimented hierarchy handed down to him by his predecessors. His teaching document on the environment influenced the World Climate Summit in Paris, especially when he warned that the globe is coming to resemble a rubbish heap. He visited Ireland in the summer of 2018 as part of the World Meeting of Families, where he was confronted with the controversy surrounding mother and baby homes in Ireland. He said he hoped his visit here would help grow unity and reconciliation among Christians on the island of Ireland. During a Mass in the Phoenix Park, he asked for forgiveness. 2 years later, as the world grappled with the impact of COVID-19, places of worship worldwide were forced to close, including Catholic churches. Pope Francis used the global pandemic to reiterate the central message of his papacy, calling for an end to the pandemic of poverty worldwide.
Non ci sia un'alternativa alla loro interrogazione.
He announced a synod on synodality in the Catholic Church, a unique bottom-up listening approach, offering Catholics in every diocese in the world a say in the nature and future of their church. In March 2021, at the age of 84, the pontiff made an unprecedented visit to Iraq under tight security. The trip sought to offer hope to Iraq's minority Christian community, devastated by wars and repression by Islamic State insurgents. In one of the most significant moments of the trip, Pope Francis met Iraq's Shia leader, the Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani. In 2022, Francis visited Canada, where he apologised to Indigenous communities for abuse they suffered at residential Catholic schools, which were in existence there from the late 1800s to the 1990s. He used a wheelchair due to strained knee ligaments, and he acknowledged that his week-long Canadian pilgrimage was a test that showed he needed to slow down and one day possibly retire. The Pope's predecessor, Emeritus Pope Benedict, opened a path to resignation and remained on Vatican grounds until he passed away on New Year's Eve in 2022. Pope Francis found himself in the position of presiding over the funeral of his predecessor in a unique ceremony which was carefully choreographed by the Vatican. In his efforts to reform the social and economic policies of the Vatican, Pope Francis had his critics, but he was greatly admired by people of all faiths worldwide. A man of the people, he'll be remembered for his compassion, his courage, and above all, his humility.
Our correspondent Alva Keneally looking back at the papacy of Pope Francis. Joining us now is the Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Farrell. Archbishop, thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon on what is a sad day for many people and also a busy day for many people within the Catholic Church. What are your thoughts this afternoon?
My thoughts, first of all, are for Pope Francis, who has now gone to the Lord, and thanking God for his ministry since his election in 2013. He's brought a great energy and vitality to the church throughout that ministry, right up until yesterday when he appeared on the balcony of St. Peter's to wish all of the pilgrims who would travel to Rome a Buona Pasqua, as he said, a very happy and joyous Easter. He literally a man who died with his boots on.
The bells rang in St. Peter's Square to announce the death of Pope Francis, and a crowd of many thousands of people fell silent. These visitors gave their thoughts on the Pope's passing.
To be honest, I had to take a minute. It was quite emotional because I really liked him as a Pope personally. He had a genuine care for the poor. It was refreshing to see a man of his authority showing such care for the environment and for the poor. The very fact that he abandoned luxuries given to popes for like a more simpler lifestyle, it said a lot about who he was as a person.
To be honest, we are all really shocked, but we are all really grateful for being here and see what's going on, but also to show the world that we are here even though he's not here, he's with God. So I know he's looking at us from the sky, from heaven. I'm sure he's very proud of us.
Some views from St. Peter's Square. Let's go live to Rome next and to Elise Ann Allen, senior correspondent with Crux, the independent commentator on the Vatican and the Catholic Church. Elise, thanks very much for being with us. Given that Pope Francis was seen just yesterday, is there a degree of shock at his death?
Well, good morning. You know, I think the answer to that is there is shock, but not surprise. You know, Pope Francis, obviously, having come out of, a nearly 40-day hospital stay just a month ago, was still very frail. And, you know, he's still very weak. You could hear his voice was still very weak and raspy when he spoke. So he's obviously still a sick man, but had been doing better, right? And we had been registering, you know, slight improvements in his condition over, you know, the past few weeks. And seeing him out in the square, you know, yesterday on Easter, almost triumphantly, you know, making it to that point, you know, the most sacred day on the church's calendar, was something that was very special for many Catholics, I think. And I think news of his passing this morning was not expected. given, you know, the fact that he'd come out yesterday, and this was the longest period he'd been out since coming out of the hospital. His first time going out amongst the people in the Popemobile to go out into crowds like that, which is something doctors, of course, had advised against, you know, but Pope Francis really wanted to be with the people, especially, you know, at such a sacred time of the year. So, you know, I think it was a shock for people this morning, but not entirely a surprise given the ordeal he's been through recently and how frail he still was towards the end.
It's what, almost 4 hours now since his death was announced. Can you bring us through what's been happening since then?
Well, I think once people started to absorb the news, you know, crowds, of course, started to flock to St. Peter's. People are there just to pray, to be in the vicinity of the Vatican. You know, there was a rosary being led for Pope Francis that happened at noon local time in the square. So many people came and participated in that. Not much else is happening at this point. You know, it's a period of mourning. The church has entered into a period of several days, a 9-day period of mourning. And we're going to get more details on what comes next, you know, in the coming hours and days. You know, this evening at 8 o'clock local time, there will be an official rite, you know, where his death certificate is written and he is placed in his coffin. And in the coming days, there will be, you know, he will lay in state. There will be an opportunity for faithful and, you know, heads of state, whoever wants to come and pay their final respects can do that ahead of his funeral. And we're waiting for some of the details of when that's going to happen. But right now, people are still absorbing the news. They're praying and they're mourning.
He had a different style to many of his predecessors, and that's likely to be reflected in his funeral.
Yes, it is. You know, Francis has wanted a simplified, he's a pope of simplicity in many ways. You know, he wanted a simplified rite. You know, his funeral mass, we can expect, you know, to be a full mass for a pope, but perhaps, you know, simpler in some ways, you know. And, you know, of course, the biggest thing that's different is where he has chosen to be buried. You know, most popes in recent history have been buried, of course, in the grotto beneath St. Peter's Basilica. He is the first pope in I think, a couple of hundred years to be buried outside of the Vatican. He has chosen to be buried in the Papal Basilica of St. Mary Major here in Rome. It was his favorite basilica. He went before and after every international trip, and he, of course, went just recently, less than a week ago, to go pray to Our Lady, you know, before Easter and after his hospitalization. So it's a very special place for Pope Francis, and I think that's the biggest difference in you know, in that we can expect in terms of, you know, funeral happenings for Pope, you know, is that he's going to be in a much different place than any of his recent predecessors, you know. And that also is a sign of him just not doing things the way they've always been done. Francis has been somebody that shook up the system from the very beginning, and he's doing the very same thing in his death.
Elise Ann Allen, thank you very much indeed for joining us from Rome this afternoon. Well, we can get some reaction from home now. Parishioners outside Galway Cathedral and also outside the cathedral in Armagh spoke this morning of their sadness at hearing the news.
Despite the fact that we knew that he'd been ill for some time, you're never prepared for these moments, even though it was probably anticipated and he made such a remarkable recovery. But what's so beautiful about it is that he gave his blessing yesterday, and I was so blessed to watch that on the screen and to get his last blessing, my son and I feel so touched about that he left with an Easter blessing and then a resurrection. What a moment that God chose for him to pass.
A life well lived, actually, and a great impact on humanity, right? Those are my thoughts. Yeah, so.
He looked all right when he saw him last on the telly, you know. God rest his soul. He was a good pope.
Oh, it's just sad news to hear it first thing this morning when I woke up. It was sad to hear it. Well, I would always have considered him a good and passionate person towards, especially towards the underprivileged and the poor, and also different, you know. He had a great outlook, I think, on the church.
We didn't expect it, really, you know, considering that he was out and about on at Easter, you know. It's so sad. It's such a shock.
What did he mean to you?
Everything. Of course, yeah. Of course, he was such a lovely man, humble, Oh, humble, so humble from his background, you know.
I suppose we got a shock when we heard it this morning, because we had seen him on TV and social media yesterday out and about and meeting the people. And he seemed so determined, I'd say, to get home from hospital, be amongst his people and go at the time that he felt was right for him. That's just, I feel sad. We've signed the book of condolence inside the cathedral. There's a calmness or something in there, isn't there?
There is, yeah. So we're sorry to hear about the Pope passing away. He was a very humble man. That was his strength, was his humility, really. You know, that's what I felt about the man, yeah. So he'll be a loss to the Catholic Church and to the people of the world.
Some reaction there from outside the cathedrals in Galway and Armagh on this Easter Monday. Let's talk next to the Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Harris. Taoiseach, what are your thoughts today on the death of Pope Francis?
Well, good afternoon, Rachel. I think it's really a fact that the world has lost such a powerful force for good. Catholics right across Ireland and across the world have lost a compassionate leader of our church. But even beyond that, more broadly, the world has lost an incredibly decent, humble man who challenged all of us to do better and to be better every day. And just listening to parishioners there in Galway and Armagh, I mean, they're so correct. This has come as a shock, because even though we all knew the Pope was so ill, I think so many of us were heartened to hear his words yesterday, his Easter blessing. And there's something very poignant about a Pope giving an Easter blessing on Easter Sunday and indeed returning to the house of the Lord on Easter Monday. So we're all in mourning today. And on behalf of many people right across the country, we send our condolences to all in the Vatican and indeed to all Catholics right across the world. I think when Pope Francis chose the name Francis, it really told us a lot about what his papacy was going to be about, choosing the name of a saint who lived in such a frugal way and such a humble way. And really, that's what Pope Francis embodied in everything he did.
He visited Ireland, as we know, in 2018, and there was considerable focus at that time on the legacy of clerical abuse. He asked for forgiveness. He also met a number of survivors. How significant was that visit, do you think?
Oh, I remember that visit very well. I was Minister for Health, and I remember at the time talking about how the visit needed to be one that tried to bring about healing. Pope Francis was the second only serving Pope to ever set foot on Irish soil. And of course, he did so against a backdrop of around two decades worth of reports into clerical abuse and the deep, deep pain, hurt, mistrust, broken trust that had brought about for so many. And I think the Pope came very clearly wanting to bring healing, wanting to play his part in the journey that is healing. And I was very struck when I sat in Dublin Castle and listened to his words. He clearly wanted his visit to make an impact for good. I think the fact that, yes, he did the things that dignitaries do when they come in terms of meeting various officials, but the fact that he chose to spend time directly with victims of clerical abuse, being in their presence and him in their presence, listening to them directly in terms of the impact of clerical abuse, was a very powerful moment. And then, of course, his words in the Phoenix Park, where he asked for forgiveness, expressed deep sorrow and a deep apology on behalf of the church, I think was a powerful and important moment, and I think has contributed positively to what is an ongoing journey in terms of needing to heal and reconcile.
Taoiseach Simon Harris, thank you for being with us on the programme. Well, also joining us now is Ursula Halligan, who's a member of We Are Church Ireland. That's a group that works for change and renewal in the Catholic Church. Ursula, thanks for being with us. What's your reaction to today's news?
Well, I immediately felt sad on hearing the news. I believe Pope Francis was at heart a good man, a well-meaning man, perhaps even a holy man in the sense of someone being close to God. Of course, I didn't agree with him on many things, especially on his failure to address the inequality of women in the church. In my view, that was his great big blind spot. But I would like to start by acknowledging the good that he did. I will always be grateful to him for his attempts to revive the reforms of Vatican II through synodality. As a gay woman who worked with We Are Church Ireland for gospel justice and equality in our church, I never thought I'd see the day when the hierarchical church in Ireland would consult me on the future of our church, never mind nominate me as one of their delegates to attend a national and an international synodal assembly. But they did. And it was Pope Francis who made that dialogue possible.